My friends, I am not only concerned about the America of today, but I am concerned about the generation to come and the America of tomorrow. What will America be like 10 or 20 years from now if the Lord delays His coming? We've been reminded that today America is number one, but unfortunately, we are number one in perversion lifestyles, radical feminism, divorce, abortion, political correctness, and the destruction of family values. You say, yes, but we are also economically number one. Well, in my opinion, I would rather leave to our children a legacy of great and godly principles than to leave to them a nation of great wealth to be squandered in a godless society. Psalm 78, 1 through 6 says, "Give ear, O my people, to my law. Incline your ears to the words of my mouth. I will open my mouth with a parable. I will utter dark sayings of old that are truths from yesterday that your fathers have known, which we have heard and known, and our fathers have told us. We will not hide them from our children, showing to the generation to come the praises of the Lord and His strength and His wonderful works that He has done. For He has established a testimony in Jacob and appointed a law in Israel, which He commanded our fathers that they should make them known to their children, that the generation to come might know them, even the children which should be born, who should arise and declare them to their children." Now, my friends, we've seen some things happening today in our generation. We have seen the implosion of Soviet communism. We have seen the Iron Curtain come down. We have seen communism become a relic of the past in most places. But I want to ask you a question. Do you feel more secure today than you did then? I don't. Because when we rid ourselves of the demon of communism, seven more deadly demons have come to America. We are in great danger, my friends. Now, I am convinced that the American dream was placed in the bosom of our founding fathers by Almighty God. America did not just happen. America was the gift of our Heavenly Father. But that American dream is about to become a nightmare. I'm wondering about the America of tomorrow. I'm wondering about the generation to come. What legacy are we going to leave? What is the America of tomorrow? Now let me lay three thoughts on your hearts from the 78th Psalm. Please keep your Bible open on your lap and see that these thoughts will come from the Word of God. God had blessed the nation of Israel. God had delivered them from the tormenting chains of slavery. God had brought them into a good land. But what they did was to defile the land, deny the Lord, disobey the law, and judgment came to them. Asaph, the psalmist, is giving some instruction to his nation. And I'm telling you, his instruction is a great parallel and ancient truths for today's world. Now, the three things I want to lay on your heart are, number one, we need to review our history. Psalm 78, verse 4 says, "We will not hide them from their children, showing the generation to come the praises of the Lord in His strength and His wonderful works that He has done. For He established His testimony in Jacob and appointed a law in Israel, which He commanded our fathers that they should make them known to their children, that the generation to come might know them." What he is saying here is, Israel, look back and see what God has done. Review your history. How many fathers do we have here this morning? Let's see your hands. Okay, here is your assignment from your Heavenly Father. You are to be a teacher of history to your children. Spiritually, it is vitally important that we know our roots. If we don't teach the generation to come, then we have been cut off from our roots. Have you considered the fact that we are only one generation away from paganism? That is all. If we miss a generation, then we're gone. How many times have I heard parents say, "Well, I'm not going to force my views upon my children. I'm going to let my children make up their own minds. I'm going to let them decide for themselves." I say, no, no, no. You need to put something in your children's minds. Listen to me, my friends. The world is going to teach them if you don't. Their teachers are going to teach them if you don't. Their friends are going to teach them. The media is going to teach them. MTV is going to teach them. And you, are you going to say, "I'm just going to sit around and let them make up their own minds"? My friends, the humanistic educators have your children in their minds. I'd like to quote from one of them. And by the way, in case you think this is just some yo-yo from off the wall, this man is a professor in educational psychiatry at Harvard University. And here's what he said, and I quote, "Every child in America entering school at the age of 5 is mentally ill because he comes to school with certain allegiances toward our founding fathers, toward our elected officials, toward his parents, toward a belief in a supernatural being, and toward the sovereignty of his nation as a separate entity that spreads his mental illness." Now, friends, this is a professor at Harvard saying this. Now, again, this is a direct quote. "It is up to you teachers, educators, to make all these sick children well by creating the international child of the future," unquote. My friends, there is a systematic seduction of children today. Humanism sounds so good because it sounds so much like humanitarianism, doesn't it? The truth is, God holds each one of us responsible to be a teacher of history. Our faith is to go from father to son to grandson. That is exactly what the Bible says again. Now, verse 5 says, "He has established a testimony in Jacob and appointed a law in Israel, which he commanded our fathers that they should make them known to their children, that the generation to come might know them, even the children which should be born, who should arise and declare them to their children." Friends, we should be passing off the baton, for there is a legacy that is to be left. It is to go from father to son to grandson and on. It is a spiritual chain reaction. But I am afraid that we have a generation that is in danger of dropping the faith that has gone from generation to generation. Fathers are to teach spiritual and national history. So just what is the history of America? Well, the revisionists have tried to take it away from us. On July 4th of 1776, the Declaration of Independence was signed. And remember, it was a declaration of independence from earthly despotic powers, but it was also a declaration of dependence upon Almighty God. Do you remember how the declaration began? It starts, "We hold these truths to be self-evident, that all men are endowed by their Creator." Underscore that, by their Creator. You see, they believed in creation. But you cannot even teach creation in public schools today. Endowed by their Creator with certain inalienable rights. From the beginning, we wanted our Constitution to be written in the light of this declaration. And now notice how the Declaration of Independence closes. "With a firm reliance on the protection of divine providence." Now, my friends, just what is divine providence? Well, that is just a synonym for Almighty God. It further says, we humbly pledge to each our lives, our fortunes, our sacred honor. Friends, it was a declaration of independence from Great Britain and a declaration of dependence upon Almighty God. Now, in 1778, James Madison, who was the architect of our federal constitution, said this, and I quote, we have staked the whole future of American civilization not upon the power of government, far from it. We have staked the future upon the capacity of each and all of us to govern ourselves, to sustain ourselves according to the Ten Commandments of God, unquote. Now, the architect of the Constitution said that. Now, you cannot even post the Ten Commandments in a school or on a public property these day and age. George Washington, in his inaugural address, said this, my fervent supplications to that almighty being who rules over the universe, who presides in the council of nations, and whose providential aids can supply every human defect that his benediction may consecrate to the liberties and happiness to the people of the United States, a government instituted by themselves for these essential purposes. Now, what he was saying is that we cannot do it without God. And then he went on to say, we ought to be no less persuaded that the propitious smile of heaven can never be expected on a nation that disregards the eternal rules of order and right which heaven itself has ordained. Here, my friends, George Washington has said, without God, it will not be done. December 1820, Daniel Webster said, let us not forget the religious character of our origin. Our fathers brought here their veneration for the Christian religion. They journeyed by its life, labored in its hope. They sought to incorporate and to infuse its influence throughout all their institutions, civil, political, and literary. Friends, they never thought of saying they never wanted God in our government or in our education. Not according to Daniel Webster. Now, on July 4th of 1821, John Quincy Adams said, the highest glory of this American Revolution was this. It connected in one indissoluble bond the principles of civil government with the principle of Christianity. Now, the revisionists of history do not want you to hear that. Our children are not being taught that in school. Dads and mothers, you ought to be teachers of history to your little children. On July 8th of 1845, President Andrew Jackson said, the Bible is the rock upon which our republic rests. And early Americans knew this. In March of 1931, the United States Congress adopted the Star-Spangled Banner as our national anthem, and part of a third stanza says, praise the power that has made and preserved this as a nation. Then conquer we must, when our cause it is just, and this be our motto, and in God is our trust. That, my friends, is our national anthem. In 1952, the Supreme Court Justice William O. Douglas said, we are a religious people, and our institutions presuppose a supreme being that is built in. We hold these truths to be self-evident. In June of 1954, Congress adopted the phrase, under God, to be added to the Pledge of Allegiance. One nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all. In July of 1956, by joint resolution, Congress adopted the Bill provided that the national motto of the United States is, In God We Trust. Our national anthem further says, Blessed with victory and peace, and may the heaven-rescued land praise the power that has made and preserved us as a nation. Then conquer we must, when our cause it is just. And this be our motto, In God is our trust. My country, 'tis of thee, which is our national hymn, says in the fourth stanza, Our Father's God to thee, author of liberty, to thee we sing. Long may our land be bright with freedom's holy light. Protect us by thy might, great God our King. My friends, never say America doesn't have a king. We have a president we vote in and out, but we have a king we cannot vote in and cannot vote out. Now we can deny him and turn our backs on him if we are foolish enough to do that. Our fathers rightly believed and rightly understood in the separation of church and state. That is, to have no national denomination. But they never believed in the separation of God and government. How many of our children today know the things I've just given you? Many of them are ignorant of these things. So fathers, according to this psalm, you are to teach those things to your children. And you mothers too. Not only do we need to teach America's spiritual history, but every family needs to write down their own spiritual history. My friends, we need to write down in a book all the things God has done for us and look back on it often so we don't forget how the Lord has led us in the past. I like the song, Count Your Many Blessings, See What God Has Done. What a blessing it would be to have our own family history to teach our children. Let me also say that individuals need to study their history. They need to understand what God has done for them personally. When your little children come to Jesus, and they ought to, they don't need to have a PhD in sin before he or she can be saved. It is normal for little children to come to Christ when they're raised in a Christian home. My friends, the devil wants to get us away from our heritage. So what I'm saying is that we need to review our history. The Bible tells us that. And we will not hide them from our children, showing to the generation to come the praises of our Lord and His strength and His wonderful works which He has done. Now, not only do we need to review our history, but brothers and sisters, we need to renew our memory. It is so easy to forget. And why do we do this? Well, let's look back here in Psalm 78, beginning in verse 7. It states there, that they might set their hope in God and not forget the works of God, but keep His commandments and might not be as their fathers, a stubborn and rebellious generation, a generation that did not set its heart aright, and whose spirit was not faithful to God. The children of Ephraim, being armed and carrying bows, turned back in the day of battle. They did not keep the covenant of God. They refused to walk in His law and forgot His works and the wonders that He had shown them. Now, my friends, God is saying here, don't forget. Review your history. Renew your memory. Don't forget how easy it is to forget the blessings of our wonderful Almighty God. The Bible says in Psalm 78, verse 9, that the children of Ephraim, being armed and carrying bows, turned back in the day of battle. Ephraim was a dominant tribe. It may have been the strongest and the most numerous. But they were defeated. They had excellent military equipment of that time, but they were defeated. Now, why were they defeated? Because they forgot. And America today is suffering from spiritual amnesia. Spiritual amnesia. We have failed in history. We have people today who want to rewrite our history, and they're changing our history books. Friends, there are three memory killers, and Ephraim suffered from all three, and America is suffering from all three. First of all, the lust of the flesh. Look at Psalm 78, verse 17, where it says, "And they sinned yet more and more against him, provoking the Most High in the wilderness." My friends, America is provoking God. America is sticking its finger in the eye of God. And it goes on to say, "And they tempted God." That is, they tested God in their heart by asking the food of their fancy. Yes, they spoke against God. They said, "Can God prepare a table in the wilderness? Behold, he struck the rock so that the waters gushed out and the streams overflowed. Can he give bread also? Can he provide food for his people?" Now, rather than thanking God for his blessings, they're wanting more and more. The lust of the flesh. America is suffering today from an erosion of spiritual values and virtues, as sexual permissiveness, the blatant parading of perversion, the continual and casual disposal of the unborn and unwanted through abortion, the breakup of the family, the obsession with self and pleasure and drugs are running rampant. Friends, America is rolling in luxuries and reveling in excesses, reeling in drunkenness and rotting in morals and sin. Now, the one thing it caused Ephraim to forget was the lust of the flesh. Number two was the lure of the world. Verses 40 through 42 says, "How often did they provoke him in the wilderness and grieved him in the desert?" Friends, not only do we break God's law by provoking him, we also break God's heart by forgetting him. Do you understand that? When we forget God, we break his heart. Continuing on, it says, "Yes, again and again they tempted God and limited the Holy One of Israel. They did not remember his power, the day he redeemed them from the enemy." Oh, friends, how quickly we forget. It says they limited the Holy God of Israel. Now, wait just a minute. God is God. How can anyone put a limit on God? What we have done in America is we have limited God. We make no room for the Lord Jesus Christ. So, in our government, the Ten Commandments are out, and sex education is in. Chastity is out, and birth control for teens is in. In our schools, the Ten Commandments are out, and metal detectors and policemen are in. Friends, we desperately need to renew our memory. Now, not only did they forget because of the lust of the flesh and the lure of the world, but also because of the lies of the devil. Verse 58 says, "For they provoked him to anger with their high places and moved him to jealousy with their carved images." You see, friends, they forgot the one true God who founded them as a nation and were worshiping false gods. Recently, I read these questions. Why is homosexuality on the rise with great moral favor and in the name of democracy? Why is feminism such a powerful force today? Why is feminist spirituality making enormous inroads into Christianity? Why is abortion a vitally important part of the feminist manifesto? Is ecology just a natural concern about the survival of the planet, or does it too have a religious agenda? Why is a work ethic no longer working? Why is multiculturalism and political correctness so important on many college campuses? Are these seemingly disconnected issues related in any way to the so-called New Age movement? Why are numerous New Age spiritual techniques for healing, peace of mind, and self-knowledge being publicized so vigorously in the news media and more utilized in the business world and the armed forces? Now the real question is this: are these seemingly disconnected issues really a part of a coherent pagan theology poised to impose its religious belief system on the New World Order, the Age of Aquarius in the 21st century? My friends, we need to wake up. We need to wake up. We need to review our history and our memory. And then we must reclaim our legacy. Psalm 78, verses 59 through 61 says, "When God heard this, he was furious and greatly abhorred Israel. Now remember that Israel was his chosen people, so that he forsook the tabernacle of Shiloh, the tent he had placed among men, and delivered his strength into captivity and his glory into the enemy's hand." My dear friends, America is well on its way to becoming what Revelation 13, 11 through 17 describes it. "And I beheld another beast coming up out of the earth, and he had two horns like a lamb, and he spake as a dragon. And he exerciseth all the power of the first beast before him, and causeth the earth and them which dwell therein to worship the first beast, whose deadly wound was healed. And he doeth great wonders, so that he makes fire come down from heaven on the earth in the sight of men, and deceives them that dwell on the earth by the means of those miracles which he had power to do in the sight of the beast, saying to them that dwell on the earth, that they should make an image to the beast, which had the wound by a sword and did live. And he had power to give life under the image of the beast, that the image of the beast should both speak, and cause that as many as would not worship the image of the beast should be killed. And he causeth all, both small and great, rich and poor, free and bond, to receive a mark in their right hand or in their foreheads, and that no man might buy or sell, save he that had the mark, or the name of the beast, or the number of his name." Now, my friends, we must ask ourselves, what about the generation to come? What about the America of tomorrow as it morphs into the beast which comes up out of the earth? What will we be like if we fail to turn to God? What will it be like if this generation does not say, "Enough is enough"? I heard of a story from World War II. There were some French who were taken captive by the Germans. The Germans took these Frenchmen and made them work in a munitions factory building bombs. These men knew the bombs they were building would be dropped on their own French people. But when the German Air Force would fly over France and drop their bombs, these bombs would not explode. And after a while, the Germans said, "There cannot be this many duds." So they took apart one of these bombs, and inside they found a note in every one of them which said, "We're doing the best we can with what we have, where we are, and every chance we get." Now let me tell you this, my friends, and listen carefully. You and I need to do the best we can where we are, with what we have, every chance we get. If we do that, we can gain many souls where the devil has them stored. There are enough Seventh-day Adventists in America. If we will wake up and do right, we can reclaim our legacy. Now, America cannot save you nor get you to heaven. You need Jesus Christ to do that. If we need God in America, how much more do we need God in our hearts? Today I promise you, on the authority of the Word of God, He will forgive every sin and cleanse your heart and give you new power if you will only surrender your heart and will to Him and love Him enough to keep His commandments. In other words, follow all the principles in God's written word, the Bible. Jesus says, if you love me, keep my commandments. Do we love Jesus? Do we really love Jesus? And how many commandments are we willing to ask Him to strengthen us to be able to keep? Let us pray. Dear Father, we are sinners and our sins deserve judgment, but we need mercy. We plead for mercy. Jesus, we believe You are the Son of God. We believe You paid our sin debt with Your blood on the cross. Thank You for dying for us. We believe You were raised from the dead by the power of God. You promised to save us if we only believe and trust in You and follow You. We want to trust You now. We want to follow You now with all of our hearts forever. Please come into our hearts. Fill us with Your Holy Spirit. Forgive our sins and save us, Lord Jesus. And we will give You the praise and the honor and the glory forever and ever. Amen.